so excited about a big announcement that occurred this morning on the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com, everything entertainment. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Traynor.
Hello.
And the announcement that was made this morning at 7 o'clock a.m. Sharp on the morning show was what this year's Project Down and Dirty will be. Bradley, thumbnail sketch, what is Project Down and Dirty?
Classic radio drama! So we're going to go back in time and relive the fantastical memories, it was terrifying for some, of War of the Worlds, a broadcast from 1938. We will be redoing said broadcast with the help of such fabulous theatrical presences as Peter Rothstein and
Jeffrey Hatcher.
Thank you. Along with other folks who helped us from Project Down and Dirty, the musical, Jason Hansen. Mm-hmm. We've got Carl Diemer on board who helped us with Project Down and Dirty rock show. Mm-hmm. So it's not just going to be these fools. We've also got a great team of people behind us to help raise money for some awesome charities.
And that is the hallmark of Project Down and Dirty, is we do it, you know, for fun, but really we do it to help some wonderful organizations gain visibility and raise money. And this year we are paired with a charity that we have worked with in the past, and that is The Sheridan Story. We partnered with The Sheridan Story during Project Down and Dirty, the restaurant. And so we have known Rob Williams from The Sheridan Story for some time, and we are pretty familiar with the work that they do there. But Rob is joining us right now. Hello, Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Hello there, friends.
We are so excited to be working with you again and working with you very specifically in this challenging time. And we've spoken to you a couple times in the past year, but can you give our listeners once again a thumbnail sketch of what the Sheridan Story is and what you all do?
Absolutely. Thanks for having us, and we're excited to see the, you know, you fools are the fun part of this radio drama, I think. So.
That is true.
So the Sheridan Story is a community-funded nonprofit here in the Twin Cities. We're based in Roseville, and we focus on food gaps when children don't have access to the free or reduced meal programs typically available at school or other government-funded programs. Due to COVID, so in March, we increased the food we were providing by 400%, providing about 100,000 meals a week. You know, the need has just skyrocketed, especially as the government, different government programs have tapered off for the families that need them.
And Rob, you know, you mentioned kind of that food gap, and you talked a little bit about how oftentimes kids are served by the schools, et cetera. How you know, we are currently right now, everybody is facing a very challenging time given COVID-19. What are the challenges that you've experienced at the Sheridan Story?
Well, I mean, I think one of the biggest challenges is just being able to scale up to respond to the needs of the kids. You know, there's about 300,000 kids living in food insecurity now. It's about a 50% increase from pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. And scaling up, and then also, you know, dealing with making sure our volunteers and staff are safe from COVID, making sure we can reach the families and kids without, you know, in social distance and safe practices and things like that. Also just having funding to buy the amount of food that we've been providing. We've provided 2.3 million meals since March in response to COVID. Wow. And have actually had to decrease the amount of food that we can provide starting this in September a few weeks ago because of a lack of funds.
Oh.
So Rob, what do you, as somebody who's been through Project Down and Dirty before, you've seen the power of My Talk listeners, why did you choose to partner with My Talk again for this year's Project Down and Dirty?
Well, I think, you know, we as Minnesotans or Western Wisconsinians, if there's some folks over there listening, you know, I think we know what it is to take care of our community and to rally around those who need support. And it's not a partisan issue or anything, you know, one way or the other. These are kids who don't have food. And your listeners and our community can respond directly to make sure that these kids have food. You know, solving hunger is as simple as giving someone food. there's much more complicated reasons of poverty and those kinds of things. But if kids are hungry, they're not going to be able to learn. And they need we need as many barriers to learning removed, especially right now.
Yeah, with the I was going to say.
Learnings and stuff.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, the food piece, I mean, that when you really think about the weight that the like emotional weight that a child can carry when they know, when they are food insecure, that is something that we do not want our kids when they're trying to focus in school and get the education that they deserve. We don't want them carrying that weight.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think we can all agree by now that 2020 pretty much sucks.
Yeah.
So, yep. You know, and imagine, and I promise you, there's listeners of yours right now listening who themselves, them and their families and kids, they're facing food insecurity. And, you know, while it's a struggle to be home and, you know, working remotely or whatever, add on top of that, that you might not have food for your kid. And, you know, you don't want to send your kid to school because of COVID, but that might be the only meal they get. And, you know, this is real kids right here in our community down the street are listening right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
What does that experience look like for a child who, you know, is able to connect with the Sheridan story? So how do you actually provide that service to the child?
So it's different by different situation the kid's in, or the district, school districts, how they're operating, or whether they go to a charter school or private school or homeschooled or distance learning. You know, as you can imagine, serving a kid in, say, Anoka Hennepin school district, which is much more spread out, or some of the rural districts we work in, may be a very different than a more condensed district like Minneapolis or St. Paul, where the kids are more, are closer together, just proximity by where they live. And you know, we partner with school districts. We have, you know, food available at the schools for the kids going to school. We have, some of them are being delivered on school buses. Some of them are community pickup or drop sites. You know, we really focus on getting that food as closely to the kids as we can so that they can have it. And, you know, we're not really interested in just solving hunger. We use the word hunger, but it's really about the effects of hunger on the kids, you know. Receiving food increases their self-esteem, their grades, their test scores, their attendance if they're attending school. And that's really what it's about, supporting the kids and our community so that they can learn and grow.
Well, we are so excited, Rob Williams, to be partnering with you at the Sheridan Story once again for this year's Project Down and Dirty Classic Radio Show. we really just can't wait. We will spend more time chatting as we get closer to go time when it comes to Project Down and Dirty, and we'll be in touch certainly throughout Project Down and Dirty. But once again, thank you so much for joining us today, and we can't wait to raise a whole lot of money for you.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. I'm excited. And if listeners want to learn more about what we do, they can go to thesheridanstory.org.
Yeah,
and keep listening because we'll share more.
I know. And I did just also want to say it's really easy at the Sheridan Story. If right now you think, well, I want to help right now, it is really easy to figure out how to volunteer, how to donate. All of those things are very easy to do right at sheridanstory.org.
Yep,
thesheridanstory.org. Thank you so much,
Rob.
We'll talk again
soon.
Thank
you.
That's Rob Williams from The Sheridan Story. They are our partner. We will be raising money for them for Project Down and Dirty this year. We really can't wait to get that off the ground. By the way, that is the last week of October. So that's what you're looking forward to. We're going to have a really fun time.
Yeah, no Halloween. Just listen to us weenies.
Thank you. We'll be your Halloweenies. But honestly, this could not be a better Project Down and Dirty for these weird social distance times. We're going to have a whole lot of fun.
Yeah,
and you'll get to hang out with us throughout the whole process. Okay, when we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show, hard pivot. Sorry about it. It's just the real deal. This
what
is what
do,
we do.
Man.
We have to talk about Randy Andy.
That's Prince Andrew.
Prince Andrew.
That's nasty.
You know, we'll tell you what is nasty about him after this on MyTalk 107.1. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show. I'll tell you in a second. My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment, Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
And I had read a headline the other day that, according to reports, Prince Andrew had a very special place in his heart for redheads. In fact, not only that, he was, quote, obsessed with redheads.
That's nasty.
Yeah. It's also Redhead Appreciation Day, so that can start any minute. Thank you. But that's not why we're here.
I don't care.
Oh, you are the worst.
That was not me. That was Holly. Okay. Whittle in your knobs.
Never knew. Okay, but it's time to talk about Prince Andrew. And
yeah, we got to talk about
gross,
nasty.
And we just have to deal with that.
I almost said nasty Asty, but nasty Andy. Because Prince Andrew was a sex addict and a daring lover. That's according to a new book, or he is rather, because present tense. There's this book, and I didn't know anything about this book. Did you guys?
No.
So do you know who Ian Halperin is?
Why does that sound familiar?
Because it sounds familiar.
Is he like a royal?
No. He is a celebrity teller-aller.
And Who else has he told all about?
Michael Jackson.
Ah, that's right.
And others.
Yes.
But he's writing a book all about Prince Nasty. And, this book, Sex, Lies, and Dirty Money by the World's Powerful Elite, releases tomorrow. And he says that he, in the process of writing this book,
sorry, I get emotional.
I know. It's hard.
Has talked to at least a dozen of Andrew's, what did you say?
Nothing. I said it's hard.
Okay. He talked to at least a dozen of Andrew's alleged former flames. Oof. Quote, most of the women painted Andrew as a perfect gentleman and said it was consensual. One woman said he was a very daring lover, that there were no limits to where he would go in bed.
Ugh. So
that's
gross.
Nasty.
She told me Andrew rocked my world in the bedroom. Ew.
Is she?
But she felt disappointed after that because she didn't hear from him again.
Rude.
One of Andrew's ex-lovers said he had a sex addiction because he was always second to Prince Charles.
That's nasty.
I don't get what that means. He compared his relationship with his brother to William and Harry. William is looked at as royal material, just like Charles, whereas he and Harry were the bad boys. This led to his playboy lifestyle. I mean, that's kind of garden variety. But he apparently says that he's also uncovered no evidence that Andrew had sex with underage women. Okay, I don't want to read this book.
No, is she?
No, this is not telling me the truth.
No, because we know, actually, interestingly, that other story that I was referencing actually says that part of what Jeffrey Epstein did was, quote, comb the streets to find redheads for him.
Well, what I will say is,
because he was obsessed with them.
That Ian Halperin does say that despite the fact he didn't find evidence that he had sex with underage women, there is no doubt that Epstein provided girls to Andrew. Mm-hmm. And that was the reason they were friends. He had an obsession with redheads.
See, there it is.
So it's Ian Halperin's book that's telling us this. And this book comes out on Wednesday or Thursday, tomorrow. And that, again, you just said this, but this is the quote from the book. He had an obsession with redheads, and Epstein would have his scouts combing the streets for the most beautiful redheads before they met.
That's nasty.
Reps for Andrew somehow couldn't be reached.
I wonder why.
He's busy.
I do want to, I am interested in this book, actually, because I do love salacious tell-alls. The thing about not finding evidence of having sex with underage women, well, that doesn't surprise me, because very likely Ian Halperin is writing, if he's doing his due diligence, is he is talking to the women who had consensual relationships with Prince Andrew.
Right. And not the people who were sex slaves of Jeffrey Epstein, who were children who he was trafficking.
Yeah.
Probably not having certainly didn't. I mean,
which that's an interesting question I would ask him. Like, well, what do you say about Virginia Roberts?
Well, that would be my question, is why did he call her? Did he have a conversation with her? What constitutes evidence? Because she's been very public. So it seems to me he just didn't reach out to her, maybe.
He says Andrew, who insists his friendship with Epstein was purely about business, Prince Andrew saying that, began to fear Epstein because, as Halperin said, Epstein got information on people and he'd use it against him.
Yeah.
When he and Andrew met in 2011, Andrew was on his hands and knees begging Epstein never to reveal anything about him. If Epstein had a prince on his knees, imagine the power he had over others.
I mean, That's actually all quite true. And it reminds you of that time, and we've heard the story of this scene that, why is her name slipping my mind right now? Ghislaine Maxwell was visiting him at the palace, and she allowed him to sit on the queen's throne, among other things. That there was something in that relationship with Jeffrey Epstein where clearly Prince Andrew was getting something from him and thought that and didn't think all the way through how that could flip and turn on him. Because here he just had somebody who seemed to want whatever he had because he was a prince. And then, lo and behold, as Jeffrey Epstein did, he got dirt on him, and that was what he used to control him.
Are people like Prince Andrew just, like, lazy and bored? Like, what's the... I know I'm being facetious and sort of intentionally naive right now, but I say that because, like, if you were, like, sex-obsessed, you're rich and powerful... Don't you kind of do your sex-obsessed, rich and powerful things, like, outside the view? Like, why would you be so lazy as to become involved with somebody like Jeffrey Epstein?
Well, and how, I mean, if you're a prince, how hard is it to find ladies that would want to...
Yeah. I mean, unless you're a predator, which...
Right. Ugh.
I got so many questions. Book's out tomorrow. Sex, Lies, and Dirty Money. By the world's powerful elite.
Dumb people doing dumb things. Coming up next, Crazy Stupid Idiots after this on My Talk 107.1. Dumb people doing dumb things. We love to tell you about them on the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at MyTalk107.1.com. Everything Entertainment. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
And these are your crazy, stupid idiots.
Well, then, I guess one could say that's a crazy, stupid idiot. Yeah! Colleen and Bradley present CSI. It stands for crazy, stupid idiots.
It sure does. Why? Well, because the world is full of crazy, stupid idiots. Dumb people doing dumb things repeatedly over and over again, oftentimes in the state of
Florida.
Yaka Khan.
Oh.
Okay. let's go to, wait for it. Never heard this before. Florida!
What?
Yay!
And I want to tell you about an elderly lady.
Okay, don't say it like that.
Suzanne Miller.
About this elderly lady.
She might be into it.
True.
Well, she was kind of not into it. And let me tell you what it is that she was not into. So I'm going to tell you about Suzanne Miller, 71. And I'm going to take you to an afternoon, Monday afternoon, at the Oceana Oceanfront Complex in Jensen Beach, Florida, where she is now facing a battery charge. And I don't mean she's being plugged into the wall. She's facing an actual battery charge. Why?
Why?
Well, it's because of a fracas that busted out at the Oceana Oceanfront Complex when she got all up in her neighbor's face. Would you like to know why?
Why?
Let me rephrase that. Would you like to guess why?
Oh, okay. Why did she get all up in her neighbor's face?
She literally became upset and started getting loud when her neighbor did something, or rather didn't do something.
Listen, this is really frustrating. Her neighbor forgot to bring the garbage down to the curb on garbage. That's not it.
What if I told you she was a crazy, stupid COVIDiot?
Oh, her neighbor coughed at her.
Refused to do something.
Wear a mask.
So apparently, here's what had happened. According to the arrest affidavit, the victim in this case, we'll call him Maskless. Mr. Maskless told cops that Ms. Miller became upset and started getting loud when he declined to put on a mask. The man who was returning to his apartment after retrieving mail in the lobby said that Ms. Miller told him she, quote, didn't feel comfortable riding the elevator with someone who wasn't wearing a mask.
I mean, thank you.
She was unable to stop the man from pressing the button for his floor, and that's when she began yelling, "He's assaulting me! He's assaulting me!" And when the man refused to leave the elevator, she tried to push him out and started intentionally beating him about the person.
Okay. I understand being frustrated that somebody else is not doing the thing that is right in the moment.
I was wondering how you were going to react to this.
No, I understand being upset when you know the right thing to do in this moment is X, Y, or Z, and the other person won't do that thing. I understand that frustration. I understand that anger. That's not the way to handle it.
Well, also, can I just point out the obvious?
Yeah, what? It's so obvious.
If you're concerned about getting the COVID, why are you touching a stranger in
his face? Also, don't yell. Don't yell. That's how we pass things, guys.
Also, I read a study. 80% of your loud-ass voice could be reduced. 80% of your chance of spreading.
Are you trying to tell me to reduce my voice 80%?
No, 80%, you can lower your risk of transmitting the COVID-19 by lowering your voice.
If you just shut your big mouth.
Yeah. Anyway, this 5'2 old lady just went postal on the gentleman. And by that, I mean save the U.S. Post Office.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, if you are concerned about a person not wearing a mask, here's what I would recommend you do. Leave the elevator and wait for the next elevator.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I did have that experience recently where... have you been in an elevator at all?
Like twice since March, yes.
I went into two different kinds of elevators. One, it was a one-holer. You could only do one person at a time.
Oh my gosh, by the way, I mean... I'm sorry. I just thought I went off track. I'll tell you what my idea was later. Go ahead.
And there was a sticker in the elevator. It was too small for two people, so it was just one person. But then the normal size elevator had stickers in the exact opposite corners. Mm-hmm. So one person was at the back and the other person at the front. And it was pretty interesting. Yeah. Okay. Next story. What now?
What I was going to say was, wouldn't that be efficient if they could make
a toilet elevator? I mean, I feel like the pressure would really prevent me from...
It was a good idea until I started to actually think about it. Because
you're like, because all of a sudden the door opens and you're not done. Hold on a minute!
13th floor and you're just sitting there reading the paper.
I'm
going
to ride it all the way down to the Skyway again.
Two. Let's go to Omaha for our next crazy stupid idiot.
Okay.
We're going to meet 25-year-old Thomas Truba, and he was trouble.
Did he play the tuba?
I don't know, but he did leave two suspicious boxes outside the Douglas County Courthouse on Friday afternoon. He took them out. A surveillance video shows that he took the two boxes out of his backseat of his car and then set them on the sidewalk near the courthouse around 2 p.m. and then drove off. Of course, they had to evacuate the courthouse as a result, and the Omaha Police Department bomb squad had to arrive and use an explosive charge to render the packages safe. They did learn, of course, that those packages contained no explosive devices. However, they were able to track Mr. Truba's car down, and
Truba-duba.
He was in it. And they did have a search warrant. They were able to search his residence and his car. And file this under don't do criminal things if your criminal things are going to expose more criminal things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you better make sure your street's pretty clean before you do something nonsense like this. Because it turned out the suspicious packages were nothing, but now they're searching and now they found all the wrong things, including but not limited to MDMA, codeine, drug paraphernalia, 232 pounds of marijuana.
Oh my God.
232 pounds of marijuana.
Where do you put that?
I don't know. Apparently in his car. That's where he liked to keep it. They also found $400,000 in cash. That was all in his car. Then they checked his residence and they found 2,000 grams of THC wax, 227 grams of MDMA, and 181 grams of suspected marijuana. They found scales for weighing those narcotics around the house.
My Lord.
Yes. So I think we could say he was into the drugs.
And he was into the selling of the drugs because he was not doing all those drugs.
He was packaging them and selling them. So that's the story. And now he has a bond set at $2 million.
Bye.
Bye. Again, if you're going to do something that is kind of bad, make sure there's really bad. Then there was really bad stuff. The end. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
That was where?
Omaha.
Oh, Omaha.
Somewhere in Middle America.
Can we go to left, right America? Wait, that's to the right of me. So, Florida.
Yes, thank you for the direction.
I guess it's technically, it depends on where I'm standing. Right? But anyway, the moral of this story is we're going to Florida, Palm Beach particularly. I have their police blotter.
Mm.
And this, I want to read you a couple of these. They're very short and to the point. So I feel like you deserve them.
Oh, thanks.
You've done such a noble job today that you deserve a couple of these police blotter items.
Fun.
But my favorite, and this is what brought me to the yard, not a milkshake.
It wasn't a milkshake. Okay.
I want to tell you about some criminal mischief that happened. And I think this was actually Delray Beach specifically. This took place on the 500 block of Brittany L. Mm. It says simply this: criminal mischief. A man found scratches on his vehicle, which was parked in his assigned space in the 500 block of Brittany L.
Is that like short for lane or
maybe?
Something?
I don't know. Feces,
oh gosh,
was smeared on the handle of the driver's door.
Oh,
also, can I just point out that when you read this, it looks like Brittany L. feces.
Ooh,
because it says the 500 block of Brittany L. period feces. It's capitalized, so it looks like our name is Brittany L. feces.
Oh my god.
And I just thought, that's why I was brought to this story, because I thought, oh my god, somebody's name is Brittany L. Schmeces.
I mean, the sad part is there's probably somebody with that name.
Do you think?
Could be.
Probably.
Brittany Schmeces?
I mean, is that a last name? It might
well,
be.
Let's find out.
Or L. feces might be.
Oh, wait, not the Brittany, but the L.
Okay.
What?
Well, I don't really know that this means anything, but yeah, it turns out, I'm looking here.
Is this from the Palm Beach police blotter?
No, I'm ancestry.com.
Oh, no, they have, yeah, I'm in the same place. Uh-huh. Poop?
Fecal family history.
Poop family history. Okay, there are people with the last name Poop.
And I do want you to know where the fecal family is from. It's from Illinois.
Anna Poop.
Oh my gosh, you guys.
Elizabeth Dorothea Poop.
Okay. We can't handle this.
We're not sure enough for this.
Mr. and Mrs. Poop.
Okay. Do you want to give me anything else from that blotter over there?
Okay, really quickly. So the other story I wanted to share with you quickly. A man in the 100 block of Monaco D.
This is Drive.
Okay.
Thanks.
In the 100 block of Monaco Drive, a man there had a female visitor. After she left, he realized $80 was missing from a drawer in his nightstand.
That happens.
I mean, what kind of female visitor is all I'm saying?
Oh, is that the end of the story? Mm-hmm. She took his money?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, right? Mm-hmm. I just love police blotters because it's so just like, you know, it's nothing overly complicated. It's like some people did, a lady's got her wallet stolen when she had two men over at her house to deliver a refrigerator.
Yeah, they weren't delivering a refrigerator. Or maybe they were.
Okay.
All right. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, we're going to play a little game. That game is called The Throwback Live. We'll do that after this on My Talk 107.1.